What I'm going to talk about is not a Mother's Day message per se, but it affects everyone. It's something that's been on my heart for a while. I've been thinking about it for a while. I've been pondering it for a while. And I felt like as much as I tried last night to prepare a Mother's Day message, I couldn't. I kept going back to this. But like I said, I think it's for all of us. Honestly, it's for all of us. And I kind of put a little blurb up that might not have made sense on Facebook this morning after, you know, blessing and thanking all the moms. I said, and come and get around the fire. Come and get around the fire. So my message today is get around the fire, which you could actually ask yourself, are you getting around the fire? So turn to your neighbor and say, are you getting around the fire? And then you can say, I have no clue of what he's saying. So one of the things growing up that I haven't had a chance to do in a long time, but we used to do as a family all the time, because we had family that lived up north, way up north, North Bay, Mattawa area. We actually had family that lived way, way up. My mom's brother lived up in Geraldton, which is what? How many hours from Thunder Bay? Four? Above Thunder Bay. It was like five, seven? How many? 4 hours. 4 hours above Thunder Bay. That's where he lived. That's north. Like winter lasts from October to the end of May in a good year. That's north. We used to go up to Mattawa, and one of the things that we used to love to do is we'd go either, you know, in the middle of winter, we'd go up because there was a ski hill, and we would either go hiking, we'd go cross-country skiing, we'd do something, but we loved winter. We loved being outside in the snow and in the cold. And I was thinking actually about cross-country skiing. Anybody ever cross-country ski? I'm not sure who designed the system, but they send you out into the snow in shoes attached to skis. And I always think, why am I wearing shoes and freezing my toes off when I could have boots that are connected? There's a reason behind it, probably the flexibility. But every time we'd go out, I'd freeze. My toes would always freeze. Anybody experienced that? Only me. Steve? Well, we did too. We got two in my family. Two in our family, we froze our feet. One of the things I remember and I loved, and I can see it so vividly, on a winter night, have you ever been outside where it's like it's so clear and bright, but it's winter and it's night? It's the weirdest thing. It's the stars, it's the moon, but it seems like you can see everything. And I have such a vivid memory of cross-country skiing at night and coming back. And my brother Sean, if you know Sean, he doesn't do small fires. He doesn't do anything small. If he's going to build something, he pours something on it, throws something into it. And so we could always be assured that there would be a large fire waiting for us if we did something like that. And I can remember at L'Auberge, cross-country skiing, freezing to death, loving it, but it's clear, and I love it, but I'm frozen. I'm absolutely frozen to death. And I remember seeing, as we're coming down, and there's hills, I can remember seeing the fire going, I cannot wait to get around the fire. Because I knew once I got to the fire, what would begin to happen? I'd begin to warm up. You know, and it doesn't take long if you're getting close to that fire that you begin, if you have like exposed skin, that's the first place that you're going to feel the fire. You're going to feel the warmth and you begin to feel like, oh, there it is, there it is. But how many know that if in that moment you feel the fire, but you turn away, you're not going to feel that fire very long, are you? But how many know if you can get around the fire and you can begin to sit there for a few minutes, it goes from feeling warm on your face and then hot on your face, but it begins to go right through your clothing, right? And you begin to feel it, and it begins to permeate into your skin, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is what I've been waiting for. And if you can, you take off these little teeny shoes that you put for cross-country skiing, and you get your feet, and your feet begin to unthaw, and it's like this fire is so good to be around. You get around the fire. And you know that the longer you stay, I don't know if you've ever been around a big fire like that, because we used to do the other thing we'd do. We'd go across the frozen lake and we'd climb these ice fields. And I would always be amazed that once I got around the fire, I could go and I could cross the lake and I can climb. And probably about 20, 30 minutes after, I'd start to feel that fire like I wouldn't be as warm. And so you come back to the fire and you get in front of the fire and you stay warm. You get in front of the fire. I want to describe it another way. How many want to be healthy but don't like exercising? Amen. That's the loudest amen I think I've gotten in church. Oh, amen. That's awesome. Well, I've been preaching the wrong messages, apparently. So I like to actually exercise, but not every day. trying to describe getting around the fire. Some days when I wake up, kind of have my routine, I get up and get my caffeine in my body, sit and I do my devotions while that caffeine begins to permeate and wake me up. Do my devotions, do my prayer. 34 minutes, 30 to 40, not 34, I don't have a time like that. 30 to 40 minutes later, I am ready usually to work out. One of the things that I love about the wintertime, because I don't jog outside, I do love to jog. We bought a treadmill a few years ago. One of the things I love about the treadmill is that I get to put my iPad on there and I get to watch something while I jog. Anybody else ever do this? It's beautiful. It's awesome. Technology. I love it. Well, I used to watch a movie while I was jogging, or I'd try to, trying to read something while you jog, it's really hard on the eyes. So I stopped that a long time ago. But I discovered something, that I could get around the fire on the treadmill. So I'm hoping that you'll understand what I'm talking about. So now what I do is, when I get my iPod or iPad on, I'm looking for as many videos as I can find now on CrossFit. So when I start and I'm not feeling good, I put my video on and I begin to run at a much slower pace than they are running. But I'm watching these competitors that are elite athletes. They're called the fittest in the world when they win. I would be happy with 10th place, actually. I said to Krista the other day, I'm like, look at this girl's abs. Like, I've never seen abs. I'd be happy with her abs. Like, if I could just look like her. Like, these are elite fit athletes. So I press play, and as I'm jogging, you know, I'm watching, and I'm going from this, and I'm like, oh, look at these guys. Oh, my gosh, look at it. And they're competing, and they're doing these incredible feats. Like, the things that they do. CrossFit, I never understood CrossFit until I started to watch. They don't do one competition a day. Like, the one competition that they do would knock all of us out for about a year. We'd be walking around forever like this. They do the one competition, then they do another competition. Sometimes they do four competitions a day that would knock, each one would knock us out for honestly a month. I look at this and I'm like, these are incredible. So when I'm jogging, I get motivated. I get excited. I literally feel like I could do more than I could. Just one more. Oh, I gotta have my phone. So I get around the fire when I'm on my treadmill. Now, there's one more thing I do when I go into my garage, because that's where my weights are. I have a reason why I'm talking about fitness. There is a point to my madness. So when I get in the garage, I keep it going. Men, get ready. Because the first thing I do when I get out there is I turn on. You know what I'm talking about, right? You guys are looking at me like you don't know this song. What are we talking about there? Rocky. And everybody knows Rocky could beat everybody. Rocky could jog up anything. It's me getting around the fire. It's me getting motivated. It's me getting ready to do what I need to do. I get around the fire. It's interesting. We live in a really, really interesting day where we have so many things, I said it earlier, at our fingertips. We have songs. We have, like, listen, you can literally, after I'm done today, go home and listen to any preacher around the world when you get home. You know, it's amazing. Like, we don't realize the technology. So you could go and listen to 25 different preachers today if you wanted to. You could watch 25 different services if you wanted to. But I want to tell you today, there is something about getting around the fire of God. And I want to tell it to you this way. Getting around the fire of God, there's something about it that you will never get just by watching something on TV. I heard one amen. I heard more amens with a health comment. Amen. There is something about getting around the fire corporately that you cannot get. I believe actually God built it into the system of mankind. It would be like this. I'm okay if I go on vacation. Again, technology, the beautiful beauty of technology. I'm okay with being gone a week and Zoom calling my wife. Zoom call, Facebook time, FaceTime, you name it. There's platforms to do it. I'm okay with that for a week. 2 weeks are pushing it. But you'd be like, I can talk with her. I can see her face to face. There is something about getting around my wife, me, getting around my wife. that it's not okay to do it for 3, 4, or 5 weeks if I don't have to. Now, sometimes there's that reason, but I want to get into proximity with my wife. You understand what I'm saying? There's something about being around the fire. Now, turn in your Bibles if you could. I'm going to explain how Jesus talked about it in John 15. We're going to start with the fact that you and I, turn to John 15. Maybe you didn't know this. I'm sure you did. I'm sure you do. You are not on this earth for no purpose. My son the other day texted me. He's like, Dad, I'm in a debate because I've got 2 or 3 people, I don't know how many it started with, that were arguing with him about evolution. And then I gave him a few pointers. They didn't seem to work so well. He said, Dad, now I've got like 5 people arguing with me. And the one argument I always go back to is, without a plan, without purpose in your creation, what is the point of you? Like, to me, that would be the most scariest thing that I would think of. If I didn't believe in God, I would say to myself, and it would be a scary thought, because I'd say, what is the point? There is absolutely no point to be on this earth if you're a cosmic mistake. Like, you got to go back to the point of realizing that somebody created this planet and somebody created and had a purpose with you. I think it's actually the most freeing thing in the world that I can step back and go, you know what? Like, I love it that I'm confused why his friends can't get it, but I understand. I used to be there. But I'm like, I live on a planet where God knows my name and I have a purpose. That should put fire in your bones right there. Like, when you wake up in the morning and you go, I am a plan of God and I have a purpose on this earth, that's getting around the fire right there. When you say a line like that, you should be like, oh yeah, I'm important. The other day I realized, again, for probably the umpteenth time, and you know you forget about it, but did you know if you are a born-again believer that Jesus is technically your brother and the Father is your Father? And he's called the king. You guys understand that, right? What does that make you? Royalty. What does that make you? It makes you a prince, princess. It means you have, okay, think about it. If you grow up in the chambers of the king, you have favor upon your life like no one else. See, these are things, and I love it, man. I can't wait for Wendy Backlund to be here. Because what we believe will determine everything. And you'd be like, well, doesn't Jesus and God determine everything? Yeah, but he can only do through what you believe. That's why he would say, if you have faith like a mustard seed. Like, he just, let's go down to the mustard seed. And one of the things that we need to realize, we're doing it right now. When I say these things, you're getting around the fire. Because if you believe them, you begin to go, yeah. You know, you should actually wake up and have a whole list of things to say. Pastor Rod said it the other day. We should put that to the eye of the tiger and start declaring them every morning. You think I'm joking? Try it sometime. I am royalty. Dan, dan, dan. I'm a son of God. Dan, dan, dan. I'm telling you, you're going to go through your day way better than when you started. Because you begin to believe the truth about your life. So when an atheist says, well, you are not here for any reason because there is no God, I say, I'm sorry, I can't live there. See, that's going out into the cold for me. That's going into like the darkest regions. I want to stay by the fire. You would say, well, aren't you just making this stuff up? No, I'm not making it up because I've seen enough miracles to know God is real. I am a walking miracle. Like, I was healed from a blood disease that was going to kill me. And when I was sitting with Glenn the other day in London, I love how God does it. You know, I'm sitting there talking with Glenn and she's like, oh, so what do you do? I'm like, awesome. I'm a pastor. You know, and it opens up what kind of church? And we talked to her for about 20 minutes. I told her about the miracle in my life, what God did, how he saved the blood disease that he healed me from, how I was deaf when I was born. He healed me from that. We had a great conversation. You know what she was doing? She was getting around the fire a little bit. She was warming up by the fire. She was getting hope because you could see hope beginning to come into her. It was awesome. Okay, John 15. I had a point. I was going somewhere. John 15. Jesus says it this way. I'm saying get around the fire. He said, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. I love how, let me find the first line. I love how the different translations, the Passion Translation says, I'm the sprouting vine and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. We'll continue reading New King James. This is, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. A long time ago when I was young, I wrote beside my Bible, anything that is spiritually significant, long-lasting, long-lasting or spiritually significant. I don't know where that dropped in my spirit one day. When he says you can do nothing, because you'd be like, well, I can do something every day. Yeah, you can, but you're not going to do something spiritually significant and long-lasting unless you stay attached. So we understand this, hopefully, that Jesus is like, hey, I'm the vine, and you need to stay attached to me if you want to survive, not just survive, thrive. And he says, if you want to bear fruit. And what I was saying earlier about these atheists, they don't understand that they're born for a reason, that they have a purpose, and you have a purpose on this earth. Did you know that? Come on, if you get around the fire, and you're like, oh, that feels good. You have a purpose. You can shout it out. Yes. You have a purpose. You were born to bear fruit. And by the way, a little farther down, it says, your Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. You think about that in the natural terms. You know, my dad, when I, you know, if he gave me a chore to do or something and I came and I did it to the best of my ability, I actually would glorify my Father by doing that. I would honor my dad by doing that. And when we bear much fruit and do what he asks us to do, he's like, oh, that is awesome. Thank you. You glorify me when you do that. But what Jesus is trying to say is, if you want to bear much fruit, you got to stay connected to me. And so we have an interesting dilemma happening because we are in a day of technology that's supposed to give us more time, but we are finding ourselves with less time. And people are finding themselves going, I am so busy. And what begins to happen is instead of taking the time to get before the Father, to attach ourselves constantly to that vine, we're busy. I heard this the other day. They said, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Have you ever heard that before? If he can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Well, I think that's a simplicity. You know, simple form of saying it, but I think there's truth in it. You get so busy, you know, he can't just throw badness on you. You're going to be bad. No, I'm not. You get busy, you get away from the fire or the vine. Before you know it, you're doing things you never thought you would do. So Jesus is saying, get into the vine. I'm just using the analogy, get into the fire, get by the fire. Now, I don't know about you, but I can do it. There's a point where I can do it at home. I can, like last night, I got my worship music on and I'm trying to do my sermon, but I'm so enthralled with this song I'm listening to right now and I'm praising the Lord and it's stirring me up and I want to type, but I can't because I want to worship. That's getting around the fire. When I'm on the treadmill and I'm watching CrossFit, I'm getting around the fire. Now, it's interesting. Let me give you another analogy with exercising. Every time I go on vacation, especially when I go to somewhere like Mexico, I'm like, I'm bringing my clothes. I'm bringing my shoes. I'm going to work out every morning. I'm going to get up at 6:30 like I do every morning. It's going to be so beautiful when I get to work out. I'm going to run with the ocean. And the first morning, we usually get up. We even take pictures to prove it. And we're like, yes, we kind of jogged today. That was awesome. And then, you know, if you hit the gym there, they don't have air conditioning. So you're like dying in the heat. And so we're like, we'll do that tomorrow. That was awesome. And then you get to the buffet. And you're like, I will not eat this. It has no power over me. Oh, yeah, it does. And every time I'm like, I will eat one good thing a day. It goes out the window so fast. And so the second day, we're lucky if we work out. There's no chance of us working out on the third day. I'm like in a lawn chair going, yeah, I'm working out. This is great. I say that because, now, don't get me wrong, I really don't feel bad. I have a good intention. But if I were to do that for a month, a year, like I would have to find some balance in that. But when I'm there, I'm like, you know what? I'll work out when I get home. But I'll tell you this, the longer I would be away from that, what do you think is going to happen to my health? If every day I go in and eat, like we do this, we're like, we're not going to have lunch today. I'm going to go in, I'm going to have salad because I ate so much for breakfast. There's no room in here. I'm not eating it. And you get in there to grab the salad and you're like, oh, they brought out another tray. And you're like, where did I put all that food? And then you say the same thing for dinner. My point is this, if I were to do that every day, I'm getting further and further away from my goal, further and further away from what I'm actually wanting to see happen, and my life is going to begin to show, you know, it's going to begin to show up in many ways, especially being unhealthy. So now we have this ability to get around the fire, and Jesus is saying, you need to stay connected to me. You need to stay connected. Now, I want to show you another scripture. So turn to Hebrews. Because what I started with, I said, we live in an interesting day where we can get so much through technology. Keep turning to Hebrews. I'm going to read one scripture verse, Ephesians 2:10. You don't have to turn there. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So did you know that you're created before the beginning of time, you were created to do good works for God? Did you know that? That God has a plan. He's like, I picked you to do things for me. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's picked you to do good things for him. Say this over him. You wouldn't believe the plan of God over your life. But I don't feel like it. Well, we'll get there. Okay, Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25 says this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Man, we could stop right there. If you're in a Thrive group, you should have learned about hope this week. I love the fact, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Confession is something you actually speak out. So when I get up, when I get around the fire, meaning I get attached to the vine when I go to do my Bible time in the morning, and I'm attaching myself to Jesus and I'm reading the Word of God. If you read John 15, it talks all about that. When I do that, I speak things out, that's the confession of my hope. Today's going to be a good day. God loves me. He has a purpose over my life. I am favored. It's a confession of my hope. Following me? Without wavering, for he promised, by the way, we don't have time to go into it. If you just read a few lines before that, it talks about the fact that we can now enter the Holy of Holies. Like that should be the greatest thing ever to go, you know what? Before, we could not get before God. He was kind of like our distant relative, but now he's like, we could stand before the Father because Jesus paid the price. When you receive it, you can go before the Father. I don't worry about when I go before Father God of, am I good enough? I never worry about that. I used to all the time, and I was a Christian. I didn't understand that Jesus paid the price. Amen. And now I'm like, I can go before you, God, because you love me, and I get to be in your presence. I don't even have to fear it anymore. I could be in your presence. So that's part of that confession of hope, which is really awesome. He who promised is faithful. Pretty sure we sang that today. Verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I would say this, the body is good at stirring things up. It's not always love. This is actually saying, some of you are just getting it. It actually says we're to stir up love and good works. So when you turn to your neighbor, you're like, why do we do that? A, it's fun. B, do you know what you're doing? You're confessing to your neighbor and you're speaking life over them and you're stirring up love and good works in them. I want to be a church that people can come in and feel like they can be amazing and do anything. Now, I'm not saying jump off a wall. Like, I'm not talking about that amazing. I'm talking about the works that God's called them to do. Because most of us, listen, when you leave here, most of the time, you're not going to have the fire on you. You're going to have the cold night. That's why we have to get around the fire as often as possible. In Hebrews 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as in the manner of some, meaning that some are not actually getting together anymore. Some are thinking that it's not important to get together anymore. That's what it's saying. Some are like, you know what? It's not important that we go to church anymore. It's not important that we gather. And he's like, no, wait, that's not true. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I want to read it in another translation. This is the Passion Translation. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together as some have formed the habit. Oh, some have formed the habit of doing because we need each other. We could stop right there. It's literally saying some have formed the habit of not meeting together. And he's saying, whoa, that you have to meet together. Because Jesus said in Genesis 1, it is not good for man to be alone. And we're like, well, that's marriage. Yes, it is marriage. But it goes way beyond marriage. Do you ever wonder how, like, God's in the garden, he just created Adam, and he says to Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. Like, Adam's got everything, the perfect relationship with God, and he's already saying, this is not good for you to be alone. You need to be around family. You need to be around people. Why? Why? Well, look, this is the Passion Translation again. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning. I'm telling you, you can get around the fire of your iPad. You could get around a good sermon. But there's something about coming together with the body of Christ that God put together for us to grow, for us to come alive, for us to sharpen each other. Because it says, stir up the love. Stir up. Like Steve, man, how many believe that this is a man of God? Let's just stir up Steve for a second. Steve, you are one of the most incredible, stable, loyal people that I know. Like, seriously. Like, you don't just sit in this chair. You've got your eye on things, and you know every guest speaker that comes in tells you that. Like, Steve, like, what you do around here is amazing. And you're a man of God. You've walked through a lot, brother, and you still keep going. And you still have your faith, and you're still a prayer warrior. I bless you. You're amazing. We need that. I'm not making that up. That is all true. I mean that 100%. You can thank me later. But you know what? I don't know about you, but when I get around people, we live most of our life around people that want to suck the fire out of us. I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but it doesn't matter if you're in the church. Church people like I work with don't do that. But it doesn't matter if I go, you know, you just have to be in the parking lot of Costco for a few minutes to get the fire sucked out of you. And if you want to go on a Sunday, Jesus must be with you. But it's going to stir something up inside of you that is not love. It's not like you want to roll down your window and encourage every person that cuts you off and takes your parking spot. Just want to say, I love you. Thank you for taking my spot. I so appreciate that. With your key on their car. There's something about when you have the right fire, because there can be some strange fire, But when you have a godly fire and you can get around it, it changes your life. Now, what I want to say is, you may come in and kind of like that example where you kind of come by the fire and then you walk away from it. That's like coming to church once in a while and feeling that heat going, oh, that feels good, but I'm going back into the dark. It's not enough. You need to be around the fire, first of all, on a daily basis with God. First and foremost, I encourage you, I don't care if it's 10 minutes. I don't care if it's 5 minutes. Get before the Lord. We have Bible apps today. We have so many things that you could turn that on and read 5 minutes, and 5 minutes will begin to stir your heart, right? 5 minutes is enough to begin to go, oh yeah, that's, I needed this today. Oh, you know, I don't know about you. I don't wake out of the bed going, come on, day. Sometimes I'm like, oh gosh, I got to get up. You know, when my alarm almost went off because I woke up before today really early, I'm like, I don't want to get up. I don't want to see those people. No, I didn't say that. But man, you get the worship on. You get 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and it begins to warm you to the point where you know the Word of God is in you. And then it says, when you have the Word of God inside of you, it's doing cool things. It's cleaning you. It's cleansing you. It's putting a fire inside of you. It's putting hope inside of you. Who wouldn't want that? Like, if I told you, like, if I said, listen, I have hope for you. If you take this chocolate bar, if you buy this chocolate, you want her to have the chocolate bar? It's Mother's. Oh, you're so kind. Tony, if I gave you this chocolate bar, it's like $2. It'll give you hope, inspiration. You'll have like the fire of God inside of you. Do you want $2? Who wouldn't? We'd be like, yes, give me the chocolate bar because it tastes good and makes me fiery. We would, of course, do that. But we can do the same thing for free anywhere, anytime, with Bible apps on our phone and go, God, I'm just going to get into your word today. 5 minutes to fuel me, getting by the fire. But I want to tell you the other thing is, you got to get people in your life and you got to get into church where people can be like, brother, I've missed you. How are you doing? How is God in your life? Let's worship together. You going through a rough time? I'm going to pick you up. We're going to worship together today. That's getting around the fire. And I'm telling you, there's something that happens corporately that can't happen individually. I don't understand it, but I know it's God's design. When we come together corporately, something happens. When you begin to worship, that's why I did say today, listen, my praise is my weapon. Your praise is your weapon, but let's do it together. Because our praise is a powerful weapon. If you ever come into church and somebody's down, you're like, let's do it. Or you're the one that's down and somebody comes alongside of you, side of you and says, let's do it together. Come on, let's rise up. I'm telling you, you leave a different person. So I want to encourage you today, get around the fire. I also want to encourage you to find out what's sucking your fire out. Because sometimes we always go to the let's get around something, but sometimes, you know, we got fire extinguishers in our life and you need to start taking note. Sometimes there are people in our life that we need to start saying no to. I love you, brother. See, this is what it means to be powerful. I love you, brother. But listen, if you're going to come to me and talk like that, if you're going to come and spew on me like that, now you can't say this to your boss, but if it's like a friend, if you're going to do that, I'm sorry, I can't be near you. But if you want to have a good conversation, I'm there anytime you want. See, that's being powerful. That's shutting down the wrong fire, but still leaving the door open to say, hey, but if you want to talk, this is what it's going to look like because I need to stay around the fire. Amen? We got to stay around the fire because, I'll go back to this and I'll end. God's got good things for you to do. We sometimes like, how do I glorify the Lord? Do the things that he's called you to do. And I don't know about you, we have a calling over our lives, we have a calling over this house, and we need to stay by the fire so we can get it done. And I don't need to listen to things, like when I get on the treadmill, I don't watch movies of Mexico. Like people going through the buffet line. It makes no sense, I gotta get around the fire. I used to try to listen, you know, I wanted to be motivational. I even tried classical music when I was working out, you know. Okay, I got to close with this story. We had the, I think it was our celebration to honor, the awards night. and we're cleaning up. And I'm not sure how it happened, but somebody in the back, because I asked for music, all of a sudden they're putting on music, and it's this. Do-do-do, do-do-do, something like that. I'm like, I'm watching the guys and the ladies that are all helping. They're like, tell you, we threw on some music. I don't think it was the Eye of the Tiger, but it was something like that. With a beat, all of a sudden, people are like, oh, yeah. I could. Getting around the fire. It's the same thing. All right, please stand. I want to leave you with, I promise you this, and if it doesn't work, come talk to me. If you don't do devotions and get before God, I'll challenge you. For the next 7 days, do 5 minutes a day, if that's all you can do. And if you don't feel a difference at the end of the day or at the end of your devotion, come and talk with me. There are so many, like, really good devotionals that will take you less than 5 minutes to read that you can get around the fire and get stirred up. Encourage you to do that. We have podcasts today, right? Man, find a motivational, godly podcast and listen to it on the way to work. I would say this, by the way, you want a sucker of fire? If you drive to work and listen to the news every day, you're sucking the fire out of you. I rarely ever listen to the news, or I rarely ever read the news, because you're going to see every tragedy across the world. Claude, you brought that to my attention the one day. We never grew up like that. Like, we'd maybe even back then we heard the news, but you think about before access to radio, you only knew about your little realm. You didn't have to worry about every tragedy on every continent. So when I drive to work, even if it's 6 minutes, I'm putting on worship music. I'm getting fired up. Some days I don't even put music on. I speak to myself. I'm serious. I get my own fire going. Self, Jay, you are a powerful man of God. You're going to go into it. You got favor on your life. I speak to myself. Steve Backlund, Wendy Backlund's wife, says, you're crazy if you don't talk to yourself. I love it. I could talk so much about that. Father God, I thank you. We choose to get around the fire. I thank you. You are the fire. Lord, when we come together, the fire is stoked. And Lord, we just say we love your presence and we love being around the fire. And we pray as we leave today that that fire would keep us warm, that we would be an encouragement to those around us. We would bless the people around us. We would literally bring fire and life to every mother and every person that we see today. And we say thank you for today. Thank you for the moms in our life. And we bless you in Jesus' name.